With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Well, Callum, here we are, 100 episodes, not out, still going strong. Who'd have thought it? Red Tinted Glasses, when we started this in September on YouTube, we actually started this as called Bringing Back the Glory. One name change, couple of watch-alongs later, and here we are, 100 episodes.
I know, it gives me a sense, you know, as you say. The most surprising thing is that people are still wanting to tune into Us Idiots. So thank you very much for all your support along the way, everybody. It really is much appreciated. I don't really know what we were expecting when we started this. There's a couple of bumbling idiots. Some say it might nothing's changed, but maybe a little less nervous these days. But goodness me, I know, 100 episodes, who'd have thought it?
Yeah, an absolute cringe fest when I watched back our first episode on YouTube. So please don't do that. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, we've learned a lot along the way. And I want to echo what you've said. Yeah, you know, thanks for everyone for continuing to tune in, whether that be on YouTube, whether you're still subscribing on YouTube, subscribing and following the platform on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know, as we said in the last episode, seeing that Spotify wrap, knowing that, you know, 16 countries around the world are tuning in. And, you know, we did think of maybe trying to get a big name player on to mark 100 episodes. Unfortunately, Tommy Hoban went elsewhere, but hey, look, it was still a marvellous interview he did with the guys at the ABZ podcast. And unfortunately, Aberdeen, the media team's not great at getting back to us in terms of requests that we've wanted. And similarly, other players were waiting on clubs to, you know, ask some players. So maybe we'll see some movement later on in that. But instead, Callum, you know, we did the charity raffle. Target was 200 numbers. We didn't quite reach that, but still, you know, 102 numbers sold, £510 going towards Aber Necessities and the Community Trust. You know, fantastic amounts raised, and we're now the official, well, one of the official sponsors of the month of December for Aber Necessities. Not obviously what we'd intended, but still pretty cool that we've managed to help out two local charities at this time of year.
Yeah, what I'm saying, I think you mentioned this time of year especially, and more needed for those less fortunate at this round this time especially. But yeah, as you say, official. I don't think we'd be official sponsor of anything. not what we intended, but still a bit cool, weird, and official. That scares me, basically.
Yeah. But obviously, there's loads of other brilliant companies out there that are also sponsoring Aber Necessities through the month of December as well. It was just due to the fact of the amount raised, it qualified you to be a sponsor for them. And obviously, it means that all of you that kindly donated to the raffle are also sponsors in your own unique way of Aber Necessities. So thank you again to those that have gotten involved in that. And Callum, you know, 100 episodes, we've had a lot of good times, you know, spoken to a lot of good guests. Jack Grimmer, Richie Byrne were both great laughs, and everyone else that's joined us on the show, whether they be co-hosts, opposition fans, you know, we've had our arguments along the way, but we're still going strong, 100 episodes. We've only fallen out with one club photographer as well, but £70 for a photo, I don't think so. We'll stick to your own unique Photoshop. And you do a good job with that thumbnail. So yeah, I appreciate the support you do to all the editing. As seamless as we try and made it look on the live shows that we did last week, there is a lot of editing that sometimes does need to occur. So no, thank you to you for the work you do on the podcast.
Oh, it was very enjoyable, and you know, it's quite fitting that episode 100 was actually a win. Nice, that's maybe good to speak about that. But yeah, thank you very much, Glenn, for getting me involved as well. I didn't really know what to think when you first messaged me. I had no idea what to expect or whether it was a one-off thing. But here we are, 100 episodes later somehow, still churning them out, maybe.
Yeah, and like you said, there is a win to speak about, so we should really get into the football side of things instead of inflating our own egos anymore. Wow. And Aberdeen did record back-to-back wins for the first time since the opening two weekends of the season, beating St Mirren in quite terrible conditions, and following up from a rather cold Pittodrie on Wednesday. Callum, you were fortunate enough not to expose yourself to the wind and the rain that lashed Pittodrie, but I know we often get criticised when one of us misses a game, but hey, look, other podcasts don't always go to games and still produce good shows, and that's what we're going to hope we produce for you today.
I hope so. If I get anything wrong, though, entirely my fault, and just blame it on me, it's fine. But I was warm, so I'll take any backlash from it. I was warm. I unfortunately was not in attendance. 8,000 strong attendance, an improvement on the Livingston game, which is, you know, fair play, especially given the conditions. But no, I was not in attendance. However, then we'll do the reverse in terms of this miss next weekend, and I'm going to be trusted to be the one with the proper match report, which is always scary for the Livingston
game. I know, no pressure, but at least one of us is constantly attending the games and able to provide some decent insight. But Callum, no real surprise that when the starting 11 came out and it was the same 11 that had beaten Livingston on the Wednesday night. I think, you know, all 11 fully justified their places and, you know, to retain a starting position.
I think so. It was, first of all, very glad to see Ryan Hedges was fit after obviously going off that little knock. And the one perhaps player that you maybe had question marks over was J. Manuel Thomas, but I suppose you especially made the case that he provides definitely a physical distraction. And also he does need those minutes, obviously got about another hour under his belt. I don't think we could really have complained maybe other than that about starting 11, actually getting a win and a little bit of consistency, not only in starting 11, but performance. And hopefully we can carry things over. But it's just nice to see after what has been a very, very consistent season all round, really, so far.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the point you made on Jets, good, you know, we you know, maybe folk thought we were a bit overcritical during that live episode last week on Jet, and possibly so. You know, at the end of the day, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and maybe we didn't cut him as much slack. But I think, you know, I will take my hat off to him for the performance he put in on Saturday, because, you know, he was showing silky skills and he was involved in the, you know, you could give him the assist for the second goal, and he was also involved in the third goal as well. And it was an excellent shift from Jet, you know, and hopefully if he is going to, you know, maintain his place in the starting 11, we see, you know, you speak about consistency there, Callum. It's something that we want to see from Jet, that level of consistency. Yes, he might not be the best at tracking back or getting involved in those situations, but if he can still put a shift in up front and get involved at the right end of the pitch and in the goal side of things, then look, that'll probably equal it out over the course of the season.
Definitely, and again, you know, he wasn't involved for a very long time, and he's gone and played 90 minutes in the midweek, another hour at the weekend. So hopefully he'll start getting up to match sharpness again, and we'll only see things improve, because there obviously is a player in there. There's a reason he's been at the clubs he's been at and things, and, you know, it'd be nice to see. It's also just, it's quite entertaining, even if, you know, some things don't always come off, as you say, a little bit of showboating never goes amiss, especially on a day like that Saturday, and I presume probably this weekend too, with another storm on the way. Sorry, yeah, bad news if you didn't know.
Yeah, I know, another storm on the way, and hopefully a bit of respite St John's would have been hoping for a bit of respite for the pitch, but we'll come on to that as we preview the weekend's game as the Dons head to Perth. But as last Saturday when we took on Livingston, we hoped that Aberdeen would have a fast start, and we did, you know, we did find ourselves 2-0 very quickly, but could have been also different if David Bates not maintained his excellent performance levels from the midweek game with a great last-ditch tackle to deny Eamon Brophy early on. I think, again, on Saturday, we saw, Callum, the levels of performance that maybe why certain fans were excited at the signing of David Bates, that potential that he can play to a certain level. You know, further on in the game, we're going to come to the you know, last-ditch tackles he had, again, with clearing the ball off the line. Just highlighting that importance, now that he's getting up to speed, he's got that match sharpness maybe in his legs, how much of a vital player he could be.
Definitely, I think it's encouraging. I think we are starting to see the best out of David Bates now, which, you know, some might say it's about time. But however, it does take time to, you know, get up to sharpness, and he's sort of creating a partnership now with Ross McCrory. Interesting that Andy Constein now starting to run again. So we'll see what, if that disrupts things. We'll get onto that, I'm sure.
Well, actually, I was gonna make that point, and I'm glad you made it there with Andy Constein now back running on grass, as we saw last night. We're kind of lucky to be recording this on Tuesday. Not normally do that on Tuesday. Normally Monday night, but I was too busy binge watching Money Heist last night. So apologies, you know, needs must. But, you know, it's kind of helped. And it was a point that Ian Watson made to me at the game. He says, well, you know, Declan Gallagher found himself back on the bench. Mm-hmm. Do we make changes now that these centre-backs are coming? Obviously, we're still not keeping clean sheets, but McCrory and Bates have formed that partnership and are looking good together.
Mm-hmm. I would say, in terms of the most recent performances, the last maybe three games or whatever, they are starting to really look like a proper partnership. I would say if it's not broke, don't fix it. For now, I mean, it'll be good to actually have those options. Whereas if something does go wrong, then we do have Gallagher or Constein to come back in. But for now, I don't see any reason to change it just for the sake of changing it. They're performing well, and until that's not the case, leave them be, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose also we should also mention that Dylan McGee was back in the kind of same form of training as Andy Constein. I don't know if he'll be fit enough for this weekend's game coming up, but maybe with the 11 days between St Johnstone and Hibs, maybe we could see the midfielder return against his former side 3 days before Christmas. But as I said, you know, St Mirren even had probably the best chance before Aberdeen really did click into gear. Mm-hmm. And a two-minute spell where we really blew St Mirren out of the water, if you know, the wind and rain didn't blow them out of Todger themselves. Marlon Watkins getting the ball rolling for Aberdeen. St Mirren failing to deal with a cross from Funzo Ojo, failing to clear their lines, and a foul from Flynn on Ojo resulted in a free kick, and Aberdeen scoring their 10th set-piece goal of the season. Another good delivery that Watkins attacks well, and he's the first person to follow up his own header and bundle the ball into the back of the net.
Alan Russell's set-piece dawns back at it again. It was a great... It was a good ball in from Ojo, it has to be said. And Watkins probably be unlucky. Pretty decent save there from Anik in the first place, who, by the way, wasn't for him, even though he conceded four, could have been probably seven or eight. But yeah, and he was first, most importantly, he was first to react. How many times have we seen those sort of chances go begging, maybe throughout the season, the previous season? And he pokes it home. And it's sort of got to be said as well, great. I'm not quite sure. Maybe he's experienced a little nudge on his nearest defender there to create that space, make him basically his freezer bird in the box there. And there was only going to be one man to get to that second ball first, if you will. And fair play.
Yeah, no, good kind of attacking instincts there from the Welshman. And, you know, as we said in that live last week, you know, backing up his own words, you know, the fact that players have got to do the talking on the pitch. We've got five winnable games coming up, and, you know, that's the second game ticked off and it's the second win. And, you know, he's also included himself, and he's stepped up with two goals. And, you know, Jet, you know, as much as we were critical of him on Wednesday after the game against Livingston, he was heavily involved in that second goal. Some good control, good footwork to try and get the shot away. I think he does slip as he tries to get the shot away, and it takes a deflection. So been an appeal for offside. I don't know if that deflection makes Ramirez onside. Sorry, I'm not up to my SFA standards, although the SFA and referees in Scotland seem to make it up as they go along. So maybe we can put that down as one of them. But it might have actually been, he might have held his line quite well. And, you know, as an actually excellent finish back towards goal and on the turn, kind of half volley into the opposite bottom corner from the American, good for his confidence as well.
100%. We'd mentioned perhaps, you know, maybe if we could see him getting back amongst the goals more regularly. And there we go, fires back with two, shuts us up. Thank you very much, Christian. On the sports scene highlights, it did look as if, even with the deflection, he was maybe just slightly onside anyway. And but as you say, he took it very well. We've seen him attempt some audacious shots in recent times. You know, a bicycle kick, I think, and a few more that I can think of. But that one on the turn was absolutely brilliant. To get the control on the ball, to guide that towards goal and get it past Anik was absolutely brilliant. And that's the type of striker Christian Ramirez is, and we know he can be. You know, he can at times be a poacher, which we saw in this knocking things over here, as we saw with the second goal. But he just, I think he just did brilliantly to even get that shot on target there on the turn there. And it was a sexy football from him there. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I think the thing is, at the time, you know, it was difficult from being in the red shed to kind of see. Obviously, St Mirren were adamant there was something wrong with the goal. So the only thing I could have thought was it, you know, potentially being offside. But, you know, refreshing that Aberdeen, whether it was Aberdeen's decision or St Mirren's, I'm not too sure, but refreshing that, you know, come the second half, we actually attacked the red shed again this season, because much more positive attacking, the games are finally balanced when we're turning against the red shed. But, you know, Christian's mum and brother had flown over from the United States this midweek, so grabbing a couple of goals on their return to Pataudry this season, I'm sure having family around at this time of year is also an extra incentive for him. And yeah, just good to see. I think you're totally right. We've seen the attributes, you know, we spoke about you know, previously the assists that he adds to his game, you know, getting involved in the link-up play. He defends for the team very well. He's not afraid to get back and put his body on the line. We saw that at Celtic Park when he near got decapitated. But vitally for us, he's chipping in where we need him most and scoring goals.
Definitely, but I think he, you know, mentioning all those sort of attributes, if you will, after him, he seemed to be a guy that genuinely gets it as well. I'd say he loves, he'll get back and defend for the cause as well. He just seems, he's like a true battler, but he's also got a genuine quality. I think at times we've had players with genuine quality, maybe a little bit lazy, or battlers, maybe not so good. We've seen that probably too much over the years. But he seems to have it all, and I'm very fond of Christian Ramirez, and I think I'm not the only one in saying that. Also, you know, you mentioned his fans, his family coming over there to support as well. You've heard of players from England getting homesick, let alone, you know, I think he's originally from California or something like that. And he seems to be, so that's nice that they came over at sort of this time of year. And he seems to be nice and settled. He seems to get it. He seems to have bought in. And it's just lovely to see. What a wholesome story.
Yeah. Well, he certainly wouldn't have been used to the weather the last few games in California, albeit I'm sure he was exposed to that in Minnesota. But for, you know, all Aberdeen did good in that opening spell, you know, I thought, finally, it's clicked. Finally, we're away to give a team a proper doing. But you're absolutely right. If it wasn't for Jack Anik, especially in that second half, it probably would have been a right doing. But all said and done, St Mirren grew into the game, which is kind of weird to say it at 2-0 down. And Australian Matt Miller, who was brought into the starting 11 by Jim Goodwin, really impressed me. It was a St Mirren number 44, for those of you maybe wondering who I'm on about. And, you know, he caught out Johnny Hayes, who was ball watching in the middle of the field as he broke forward and tested the palms of Joe Lewis. He also had another attempt, the attempt that we mentioned earlier that David Bates had to clear off the line, another attempt from a corner where Joe Lewis saved well, and Joe Shaughnessy on the follow-up, it goes behind for another corner. But, you know, for all that Anik did, Joe Lewis, you know, has him being dropped really helped his confidence, because it's another solid performance from, you know, from our number one goalkeeper. Probably just he'll just be disappointed he never kept a clean sheet.
I think so. I think, you know, you always hear of, even though goalkeepers, whether the game's uncomfortably, you know, they're always a little bit frustrated if they let one pass them. But it's good to see Joe Lewis sort of maybe back to his best. Seems a little bit less erratic, a little bit less, but a little bit more calm, more importantly, less calm. That would be a concern. But I've said a couple of times, hopefully this is him now, with the confidence back to his best. A couple of good performances there. I mean, he had, to be fair, nothing to do against Livingston, really, but he was tested. For all that, you know, we ended up comfortable winners against him. And then when he was called upon, he was there. He stepped up to the plate. So hopefully we can see that carrying on. It's very welcome to see. It's never nice when, you know, goalkeepers go through those horrible patches when they're your own goalkeeper. When it's other goalkeepers, it's funny. But hopefully now that's now behind him, and he can start to just build on these performances.
Yeah, hopefully. And I suppose, you know, it was no surprise that Matt Miller was involved in the St Mirren goal. You know, another good driving run, finding some space to pull the ball back for the left-back Tanzer to slot home. You know, he peeled off of Ojo, and it was actually a really good finish from the left-back, who, for those of you that play fantasy football, and I know Bruno will be loving this segment, but given the fact that he's top of the red-tinted glasses league, but, you know, a very high point-scoring left-back in the game, and, you know, finding himself on the score sheet to give St Mirren something to potentially fight for, albeit though that was quickly extinguished. But, you know, obviously St Mirren got their goal, but yes, we've got a lot of positives to take from this game, but should we be slightly worried at the ease in which St Mirren kind of got behind us on several occasions defensively?
I think possibly it's something that, well, when we're playing this sort of high attacking football, I suppose you are liable to then get caught out, players getting behind, and then that's when it comes for Joe Lewis to sort of bail you out, I suppose. But in terms of the goal, I think you can maybe, although we've given credit to David Bates, I think he was fantastic, maybe he could have been tighter towards stopping the cross, but just nitpicking here, I suppose. Perhaps maybe against, no respect, some slightly better sides, as you say, if you let them in behind so many times, then we will maybe get punished slightly more, but hopefully we'll be a little bit more street smart in those kind of games. That would be nice, but, you know, for all the positives we've been talking, we are Aberdeen, so it is possible for that not to happen.
I totally agree, and I think, you know, it's, you know, maybe the philosophy that you score two, we'll score three this season. Mm-hmm. We spoke about that in, you know, August time, when we really were a bit, maybe a bit worse defensively, or more exposed defensively, I should say. And I think it is a slight concern that the way teams do get in behind us, but that is the risk that you play when you're absolutely right, when you have that sort of high press. But equally, if teams are going to score, the best way to counter that is respond almost immediately. And that's what Aberdeen did. David Bates with an excellent long ball. I don't think it was just a hoof up the pitch. I think he knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Picking out Jett to flick on for Ryan Hedges. And it maybe gets a bit lucky that the tackle isn't fully complete, and he feeds in Marlon Watkins to grab his second of the game. And, you know, it probably calmed any sort of nerves that maybe the crowd had, or they thought, oh no, here we go again. It was just bang, straight into it, bang, 3-1, thank you very much. We've got that two-goal cushion back.
Yeah, definitely, definitely settling the nerves. And some of the games we've seen so far this season, it was very, very important with the way how they've gone that we did, you know, settle the nerves, having obviously thrown away the lead against them, and albeit when they went down to 10 men previously. But no, encouraging to see us just firing straight back at them, going straight back at them, putting pedal to the metal. Is that right, I think. Thanks very much. And I say Watkins took it very, very well, but it's got to be said, fair play, J. Emmanuel Thomas getting up and winning that header, flick on. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the sort of things we were seeing him do constantly in sort of the games against like BK Hacking and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging to see. But, you know, he took it very well, and it gave us a slightly more comfortable lead going into the second half. And I'm delighted. I think Jim Goodwin, maybe when they scored, I can't remember, someone said on Twitter, I think they were maybe watching Red TV, that he'd said something. It looked like he said something like, how easy was that? And then we just went up there and went, yeah, you're right, Jim. It's really easy. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I mean, for as you know, the success that St Mirren had in getting in behind us, we had countless success getting in behind the St Mirren defence. And for a team that have really struggled to score in recent weeks, they really have to probably improve that defensive record, because when you're shipping four goals going on eight or nine, you're not giving yourselves much of a chance. But, you know, it was a first half that did contain lots of goals, and lucky, and maybe, you know, for a neutral, they'll have thought, God, do you proper value for money that first half? And it was lucky there was probably not more goals, was it not for, you know, some good goalkeeping and defending in places. But, you know, Payam Bovril came up to Pitaudry on their Christmas day out, you know, all St Mirren fans there in charge of that website, and that was, you know, swiftly dampened, not just by the weather, but Aberdeen's blistering attack. Albeit in the second half, once again, I know you weren't there, Callum, but once again, I felt we were just a bit timid in the approach to the second half. I know, obviously, we had that two-goal cushion, but I felt we kind of let St Mirren into the game a little bit. They, you know, without them threatening too much, I felt they were, you know, winning the midfield battles and you know, just beginning to assert themselves. And fair play to Stephen Glass, kind of recognizing that something, you know, needed changed in the Aberdeen ranks, and something that we saw him, you know, accustomed to in the early part of the season was making changes when the game was maybe coming away from Aberdeen, and he made that change and took J. Emmanuel Thomas off and brought in Teddy Jenks in a more advanced role. And I think it's fair to say, for those that were there, I know obviously you said you've seen the highlights, but I think certainly those that were at the game will have probably appreciated that was probably Teddy Jenks' best performance for Aberdeen, I'm going to say.
To be fair, maybe not very hard, but no. It's encouraging to see. Obviously, I've only seen the highlights, but obviously saw him involved in the goal later on, and he had a short save which Arnick just about got enough on to stop it, mm-hmm. Trundling over the line. It's very, very encouraging, especially given the way another centre midfielder that we signed on loan from the Premier League has gone. But, you know, good to see Teddy Jenks get involved. I think you're probably right in that maybe in that more advanced position, get up in support. Maybe that's, you know, more sort of his role. And if we can use him sort of in support of the likes of Hedges, Watkins, and then in Ramirez as well, then it's very much encouraging. And hopefully this is one midfield loan signing. It might see past January, maybe. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if he's going to be deployed in that more forward-thinking role, maybe that's where he was more accustomed to playing in his time at Brighton. Why I think we saw glimpses of why he's so highly rated at Brighton, Hove Albion, and they were obviously, you know, keen to get him some game time this season. And yeah, definitely, you know, positives. I think, you know, we spoke the last time we played St Mirren, and I thought he had a good game up until that red card. So maybe there's a bit of, you know, he wanted to prove a point against that level of opposition, or maybe, you know, as you said, it's not been hard to match or better some of the performances he's put in this season. But if we, again, you know, we hark back to Jet, that an excellent performance that he put in, Teddy Jenks, another good performance. Let's see that consistently now going forward. Let's not have it be a one-off or, you know, just the odd flash in the pan. Let's keep building on that. And I think the Livingston game and then Saturday against St Mirren, there was glimpses of what Stephen Glass is trying to do, what this team is capable of doing. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen it over a long enough period this season. It's been in, you know, 2-3 game spells, and then we go massively off the boil.
Yeah, definitely. That is 100% the case, essentially. So building this consistency, I think between, you know, having two games in a row where we actually have the same starting lineup, that helps. Getting two wins back to back really definitely helps. And then going on to St Johnstone after picking up 6 points, you'd like to think hopefully we can do the same. And I'd probably be happy to see the same sort of starting 11 go out there too. And then that would set us up nicely for, it's almost like a mini international break going into the Hibs game, yeah. Whether that's, was it 11 days between the fixtures. So, you know, it would be nice to sort of build that consistency, and hopefully it won't end there either. As Marley Watkins said, 5 winnable games this month. So fingers crossed we can go and do that. But hopefully, I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much, because we've been here before where we've had a few good results and then it came a little bit crashing down again. But I think maybe things are starting to click now then between those two, get 3 game spells and then this one too. So fingers crossed we can carry that on going into that St John's game, which we will come on to.
Yeah, we will. And we'll come on to it after we've spoken about the fourth goal. And for me, that goal was just sumptuous. It warmed you up on what was a freezing cold day. It signified to me what the intent that Stephen Glass is trying to do, the style of play, the brand of football that we are trying to implement at Tawdry going forward. The passing moves, the little bit of skills, some of the one-touch interchanges between players, and then the ball across for Christian Ramirez to probably get one of his more simpler goals this season. And, you know, what you've touched on, we've seen that poacher instinct, we've seen him score a bit more spectacular this season. And it was just the team nature of the goal, the fact that some of the players went to celebrate with Teddy Jenks for the work that he put in, the others went to Christian Ramirez. It was just a joy to watch.
I think, I mentioned sexy football early on with Ramirez finished. I think that can be one of the very few words I can use to describe that Aberdeen goal. It was beautiful. I think that is sort of the football we've been promised, perhaps, and it's good to see that, you know, we did get the goal. I think obviously helped playing without sort of the pressure after being already 3-1 up probably did help too. But I think I'm glad the players went over and celebrated with Gents. I don't think his role in that goal can be understated. What a ball cross that was. And maybe not quite rectifying his previous mistake against St Mirren, but I think it went a long way in getting towards that. As you say, easy finish for Christian Ramirez, but at the same time, he had to be there. He had to be in the right place at the right time to slot it home and make no mistakes. We have seen players at times make those sort of mistakes even when in the right place at the right time. So just glad to see he could, you know, add that finishing touch. And it looked like he enjoyed it as well in front of the red shed. So, you know, I'm very glad. I'm very happy for that man. It's hard to see that man smiling and not smile at the same time as well. I'm in love and it is great. Christian Ramirez is the king of USA after all.
Yeah, so I'm glad you got that in as well. But no, it was just something about that goal. It was just a joy to watch. And I think, you know, there's obviously been a lot of pressure, a lot of talk around Stephen Glass and the style of football. Is it working? Is it not? And look, we're going to come on to it, Callum, though. Like, it's we've beaten Livingston and St Mirren, two teams that are, you know, being brutally honest and, you know, no disrespect to them as much as possible. They're not in the best run of form. Mm. It's two games, with all due respect, again, you're expecting a team like Aberdeen, especially at home, to be picking up 6 from 6 in those games. So we don't want to get too carried away. Equally, we probably will as Aberdeen fans, as football fans in general. You know, we're back into the top 6 right now, but we're travelling to Perth on Saturday. We're going to go into that now. And we've only got one away win this season. So how important, we spoke on Thursday when we did the live show after Livingston, that it was important to back that win up by getting 3 points against St Mirren. We've gone and done that now, but I actually think it's even more important that we go and back up the excellent performances that we've put in by going and getting our second domestic away win this season.
Yeah, I would agree there. I think you're also right in that we shouldn't get carried away. It is, you know, two sort of bottom 6 sides that we've beat. But we have seen ourselves, you know, not do that already this season and lose games that we probably, you know, on paper should be winning. So that's at least some improvement and some progress. But I think you're definitely right. It's definitely important, you know, to go on the road, you know, and get those 3 points. I think our form's been pretty decent up Tawdry for the most part this season. It's on the road, as you say, causing those problems. And even that one win away from home was definitely handed to us, quite literally, by Max Strychek there. But it is important. And going into that, I described it sort of as a mini international break. And in some ways, it is. But it's also better than that because all the players are going to be there. They're going to all be together. There's no one going away anywhere for any international football. You know, Lewis Ferguson's going to be there. So it's a chance to build on and then improve that. So going into that, on the back of another win, 3 wins in a row is vitally important, especially going to a game against Hibs, you know, not on great form perhaps, but they will have a final between now and then. So they could be buoyed by perhaps a victory, although however unlikely I think that might be. It's something you've got to take into consideration. So 3 games on the bounce would be absolutely wonderful. And I think you're definitely right in that. It's almost as more important, if not definitely more important.
Yeah, and you know what? That's actually a really excellent point you make, Carl, about that kind of gap that we've got on the back of St Johnstone going into Hibs. It is all about that momentum. You know, it's such a like buzzword that gets thrown about in football all too often. And I think there's something building, as you know, we don't want to get carried away on the back of 2 wins like we did after, you know, the Hibs, Rangers and Hearts games and fell flat on our faces very quickly after that. But if we can get some momentum building into that Hibs game, you know, then take something at Easter Road as well, you're then going into back-to-back home games against Dundee and Rangers. And now the club have actually, you know, come out today and said there will be spot checks on the, you know, whole vaccine passport things for the Dundee and Rangers game. So obviously predicting crowds of well over 10,000 for these fixtures. And I think, you know, a couple more positive results coming up should, you know, these games are always well attended regardless. And you know, it just shows, you know, we had 6,000 against Livingston, and there's probably a high chance we'll probably see 16-17 come the 29th against Rangers. You know, I'd love to see a full house, but you never know in these times just now. But St Mirren, I'm going to mention them, you know, they weren't in the best of form, hadn't scored many goals. You know, we kind of thought this is probably the right sort of opposition for an Aberdeen team looking to play that style of football. Looking ahead at St Johnstone, only one goal in their last four games against Hibs, that they ultimately went on to lose after Craig Bryson, remember him, you know, got himself sent off. But they've not actually won at McDermott Park since they dismantled Dundee on the 2nd of October. 3-1 that game. I think they were 3-0 up at one point till Dundee pulled one back late on. So, again, from that side of things, is this maybe the right opposition? But, you know, they themselves have had a bit of a break given their game against Ross County was called off last weekend.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe not quite the fixture you'd have handpicked, but certainly be up there given the run of form they've been on. They do, however, have Stevie May, so let's not get too carried away. Finding his fit, I'm not quite sure, actually. Not done my research. Who's shocked? Not you. But you
100 know, episodes don't change.
I know, exactly. You know, I won't let the 100 episodes go to my head. I'll stay grounded and not do my research, as always. But you are right. It's these three fixtures, especially, you know, basically three of the most favourable, probably, given the run of form. Although, you know, St Mirren and St Johnstone, both capable, very capable sides. Sorry, Livingston. But I say, looking at their form, that's what's been poor. Hopefully we can add to that, and we'll ruin Stevie May's day for once rather than it being the other way around. That would be nice.
Wow, I really hope that doesn't have to get clipped back to haunt us. That you've said that. But I think, you know, I think that game against St Johnstone at Pittodrie, we didn't perform at all. It was just a classic Aberdeen St Johnstone game at Pittodrie where they come up, sit in and shithouse a 1-0. And I don't see Stephen Glass, you know, try to do that to Callum Davidson. I know there was talk of him, you know, potentially getting or being linked to the Preston job, but I think that's going to the Plymouth manager, Ryan Lowe, is going to take that instead. And I think that would have been kind of an interesting backdrop to this game had, you know, there been some more developments around that appointment. But, you know, should we take encouragement from the fact that we now look a bit better going forward, Callum? And maybe we can take some confidence from that. You know, Saturday was the first time we'd scored more than two goals in a league game since we drew 3-3 with Celtic at home last season in that highly dramatic game. And the game before we'd scored four against a pretty dismal Hamilton side. But, you know, we're starting to see, you know, we saw in the Motherwell game how good we were going forward, didn't take the chances. But are things beginning to click?
I'm hesitant in saying it because we've been here before, but I would like to think so. It does take time for a sort of a complete change in philosophy to get implemented for the players to understand their roles fully, but then also equally on the pitch, it takes time for players to build up these understandings between them, and hopefully we are starting now to see that. You know, you mentioned going forward, but at the back too, between the sort of Bates and McCrory, Funso Ojo, who Swiss Army knife, essentially, Belgian Army knife, can play anywhere. Fantastic. So, you know, it is sort of encouraging. I just hope that, you know, we've not got ahead of ourselves once again too early, and we'll go and have another dismal defeat, as sort of we saw, you know, with Dundee United, those kind of things.
Yeah,
we don't like the Tayside, do we?
No, McDermott Park's just a ground that I absolutely just shins shivers down me. It was kind of the fear I had of what, you know, Kingsford would turn into kind of a soulless bowl outside. Well, it's not even a bowl, but a kind of soulless stadium out with the city. And yeah, it's not my favourite away day. As I said, I'm doing a Polar Express experience in Brechin instead of being at Perth. So yeah, I'll remain to see which one's the more enjoyable experience, your trip to Perth or my trip to Brechin. But I think, you know, obviously, as we said, we're recording this on Wednesday. There's supposed to be another storm brewing. We saw St Johnstone's pitch didn't hold up the rain that came down on Saturday against Ross County. So you know, if there is to be a lot of bad weather over the next few days, it might be a heavy pitch. And we saw against Celtic that Scott Brown's legs were struggling in heavy pitches. You know, it could maybe affect our style of play as well. You know, at times on Saturday, we got the ball down and played some really slick passing football, you know, on that wet surface. But maybe St Johnstone's drainage isn't quite as good as Pittodrie. So, again, I suppose the weather might have a factor in the game itself.
As is often the case around this time of year in Scottish football, though, however. But, yeah, I think you're definitely right. I suppose that is something we have to take into consideration. But then, between the pitch perhaps not being good or it being blowing a gale, so you're probably more inclined to then maybe try to keep the ball on the deck, but then it might stick if it's slightly waterlogged or, as you say, pitch heavy on the legs, such as Scott Brown. Not great, but, you know, sorry to go back, but you mentioned Brechin. Just be thankful you're going to Brechin, not to watch Brechin City. So that's at least one thing. I don't lie, you're going to enjoy the Polar Express. You're going to love it.
Yeah. I'll send you a video. It'll be a great time. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And I suppose, Callum, one thing, you know, that we've got is to just try and get that result, you know, get that momentum built into those fixtures, and hopefully, you know, we can do that, and when we come back next week, because we will have a bit of a gap, so we are talking about three wins on the bounce and some a bit of positive momentum again. And one thing we didn't touch on our last episode, so we're going to just do that briefly, was the Scottish Cup draw. Obviously drawn at home to Edinburgh City. What were your thoughts on the Scottish Cup draw?
I think it's a shame it wasn't away. That would have been nice going down there. I don't even know what the stadium's like, to be honest, but it should have been nice, something different. It's always nice when you get a sort of a lower league club. I remember going to Ayr maybe in the League Cup a couple seasons ago, which was nice at Somerset Park. But I suppose it's favourable in terms of going through. I think perhaps maybe it's down at that out there patch, then they might fancy themselves a little bit more. You'd like to think we won't cause ourselves any problems, but that will probably be what the case would be if we are to falter at this stage. A good cup run's needed, I think. You know, the league's been a bit patchy. We obviously went out to Raith Rovers in the Premier Sports Cup. A nice Scottish Cup run would be wonderful, and I think this is probably a good opportunity to kick that off, I'd like to think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm always the same as you. I'm always looking for like a kind of trip to somewhere that you don't often get, or a junior lowland league side, something like that. Just something a bit different in the Scottish Cup. A home draw against Edinburgh City is, you know, as good an opportunity that is for progression. It just kind of screams a bit of a boring game, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But you never know with Aberdeen in cup competitions whether it'll be a boring or a banana skin. Hopefully, though, you know, I think you make a good point there. We take it seriously given the poor run of that we had in the Premier Sports Cup at Raith. And I think, you know, if we are struggling in the league to be consistent, you know, the Scottish Cup provides not only, well, it's probably our only chance of silverware this season, but another potential route into Europe if we can't get through that in the league. So a competition that hopefully we do take very seriously this season. And obviously, as I said, as much as, you know, maybe some of the fans would have liked to be away, or you know, some of these sort of trips from a club point of view, a financial point of view, I'm sure the club will be delighted at an opportunity of progressing. Again, no disrespect to Edinburgh City, because I'm sure they'll be coming with the view to try and cause an upset in that tie, but there's something to look forward to in the new year anyway.
I'm sure whatever travelling Edinburgh City fans, they'll have a great time. It's something very different for them, I suppose. I don't know how much they usually get in attendances or whatever, but, you know, I'm sure they'll enjoy themselves too. And in terms of taking it seriously, you'd like to think, since it's the first game after the break, we would just go hell for leather, full strength 11, no messing about. Maybe with some new signings by then, I suppose. Who knows? That'd be a good time to sort of maybe try bed them in. I'm getting quite excited to see what happens in January, I won't lie.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, we know we might have new signings, we might have lost some players, who knows? What might happen between now and then? And yeah, I think, you know, I think that's a good place to leave it, Callum. You know, 100 episodes, a positive win to speak about, and trying to have some hope going into our weekend's trip to St Johnstone. I hope you enjoy the game.
Thank you very much. As we head towards what is the start of a journey towards the double century. Goodness me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just a thanks to those of you that are watching. If you are new to the channel, hit that subscribe button. If you're listening, just remember to hit that subscribe and follow button wherever you may be tuning in. And yeah, just again, thanks very much for your continued support. Sports Social Podcast Network.